It's the dictionary.
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 Dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. This is the podcast where I, Spencer, am reading all of the words in the English language dictionary and telling you about them, telling you the definitions, telling you some things that I think about them in the best possible way that I know how. The first word in this episode is game hen. Two words. The previous episode we had game cock. So let's see what this is. Noun from 1975. It is an immature domestic hen weighing usually less than 2 pounds and used especially for roasting, as in a Cornish game hen. So, yeah, we had game cock in the previous episode, which was the rooster used for fighting in games, but the game hen, was it used like as game? Like, are you hunting this chicken? I don't think you need to hunt chickens. I think that they're relatively easily catchable, or at least the ones on the farms are. I don't know. So, very different things. We're cooking up the hen, and we're letting the cocks fight. Okay, that's what we're doing. Great job, everybody, for murdering birds. Hey, let's make a sound effect. What are we gonna do? We're gonna go, what? Next, we have game keeper. One word, noun from 1659. The person who keeps the games. I am the gamekeeper. I am holding all the games. You have to answer my 3 riddles before I can give you a game. Okay, the gamekeeper is a person in charge of the breeding and protection of game animals or birds on a private preserve. So there's an area owned by a private person. They own the land. There are a number of animals living on the land. And so the gamekeeper, they run the whole show. They're keeping the animals protected, and they are in charge of breeding the animals. I don't know what kind of animals they have on here. I'm thinking like peacocks and maybe ligers. Maybe those are some of the animals that the gamekeeper keeps track of. The game animals. That's what we're calling them because they're game. Okay, what? Next we have gamelan or gamelan, G-A-M-E-L-A-N, noun from 1817. This is an Indonesian orchestra made up especially of percussion instruments like gongs, xylophones, and drums. I think it's a Java word. Java is one of the islands in Indonesia, I believe. My sister many, many years ago took a trip to Bali. I think she was there for like a month in a summer or something like that. And I remember her talking about gamelan, but it was not an orchestra of all these different types of instruments. It was... sorry, I'm trying to type at the same time, and I am losing my letters. It was this sort of bell xylophone instrument. So I don't know, maybe I just had incorrect information. But yeah, this gamelan, I'm looking it up. It's a musical ensemble, an orchestra that has instruments like the one I mentioned, but other ones as well. The music is complex and polyphonic, with the instruments often tuned to unique scales like slendro or pilog. Gamelan plays a vital cultural role in religious ceremonies, dance, and theater across regions like Bali and Java. So maybe I'm just mixing up the term. I know she did some, she learned some dancing there, and so maybe she learned gamelan dancing or dancing for the gamelan or with the gamelan. Yes, there are many images of people with all of these bells and gongs and things all around them, and they're sitting on the floor mostly, and Yeah, I wanna hang out in the gamelan, maybe play some gamelan. What? Next is Game of Chance. This is from 1790. It's a game, as a dice game, in which chance rather than skill determines the outcome. There's no skill involved in a game of chance. Like the game of war, I don't think you can use any skill whatsoever. It's just a game of chance. It's just how the cards fall, how they're shuffled, how the dice fall. Of course, you can have some loaded dice, but typically, you know, you're playing all fair and square. It's a game of chance. Hey, how's this coin gonna flip? That's pretty much a game of chance. I feel like most people probably prefer games of skill, but, you know, game of chance, like, anybody can play. That's kind of the thing, is that you don't have to have any skill to win or lose at a game of chance. What? Gamepad is next. Two words, noun from 1991. It is a device having buttons and a joystick that is used for controlling images in video games. It is called also Joypad. Oh, this pad gives me so much joy as I am playing the games. And also it has a joystick. It's a double meaning of the word joy. Are people still using this term gamepad in these modern video game times? Game controller also, I think, is maybe a little bit more common. I'm thinking of PlayStation and Xbox and, of course, the Switch. These are all very, very popular things that I'm seeing people and hearing people talk about. The Switch, of course, I see out in the wild because it's so little and portable. But yes, they got buttons. They got buttons and they got joysticks. I mean, 1991, you know, back then, the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, was probably the big one in that year. I think it came out in America in maybe 88 or 89, and I think I got mine in maybe, yeah, probably 90 or 91. It had the rectangle, just that classic NES gamepad controller. And then, of course, we moved on, we upgraded to the Super Nintendo, and then, of course, there were all those other systems, the Sega Genesis and the TurboGrafx-16, and of course the Atari was before all of them, and the Commodore 64, that one, those were just really joysticks though, weren't they? I don't know if you could call those a gamepad. The Dreamcast, the Nintendo 64, the GameCube, all the Xboxes, all the PlayStations, I think we named them all. What? Next is game plan. Two words, noun from 1941. What's the game plan for this podcast? I don't know. I'm just doing it day by day. Day by day. Okay, a game plan is a strategy for achieving an objective. Game plan with a hyphen is an intransitive verb. Come on, guys. We got a game plan. We gotta figure out what we're doing. Well, what's our objective? I don't know. Maybe we should figure out what our objective is first. Oh, our objective is to go get food? Okay, what's the game plan? We gotta figure out where we're gonna get food. Are we all, there's 38 of us. We all have to agree on where we're gonna get food. How are we gonna get there? Are we gonna do delivery? Are we gonna go pick it up? Are we gonna go eat there? What is the game plan? What's everybody gonna eat? Game plan. Game plan. Make up your game plan for eating. What? Next is game point. Two words, noun from 1903. It is a situation, as in tennis, in which one player will win the game by winning the next point. Also, the point itself is the game point. I don't have so much experience this with tennis, but I do have some experience with game point in racquetball. My dad and I used to play some racquetball back in the day. Also, ping pong. Ping pong, definitely. You got some game points there. I'm usually not the one to say game point, but every once in a while, I will be the game point person. I think the last time I played ping pong, I played against somebody who was pretty good, And wow, I gave him a run for his money. I don't know how I did that. Maybe he was rusty, but I think he won the game. What? Next is gamer. Noun from circa 1630. Now, what we think of gamers today is very different than what they were probably thinking of them as in 1630. So this is number one, a player who is game. Like, oh yeah, I'm game. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. I'm ready to play this game. I'm ready to say game point at the end of the game. But especially an athlete who relishes competition. Oh, I love putting competition on my hot dog, and I call it relish. Oh, I love a good competition. Playing tennis. This is what the gamer is saying. They're ready to play the tennis or any game. Number two, a person who plays games, especially a person who regularly plays computer or video games. Yeah, typically we're thinking of them playing those digital games, but I would guess that people who are playing analog games, card games, board games, etc., they might call themselves gamers as well. Is there crossover? If you are a gamer of some kind, do you do the digital and also the analog, or do you just do one or the other? I feel like once somebody's in one of those worlds, they probably mostly stick to that, but I don't know. I would not call myself a gamer. I mean, I like games, but I rarely, so rarely play them, mostly because I don't have time. Oh, I forgot a good game that I didn't mention in the previous episode. Cards Against Humanity. Oh, that's a fun one. I once ran a game of like 12 people. I think there were so many people, and some of them had never played before, and that was a quite a fun game. So yes, I'm a gamer because I'm up for a game. I like a game. I like to play games, but I just don't play them very often. Next, what? Game show. Two words, noun from 1958. This is a television program on which contestants compete for prizes in a game. And an example of what that game might be is a quiz. Like, what sort of game shows are quizzes? I mean, Jeopardy would be the first one that I can think of. But yes, there's quiz games. There was even one called Quiz Show, right? Or was that the movie? Something you're answering questions. That's a quiz show. Maybe Double Dare. Would that have been called a quiz show because you're answering questions? And then you get to do some crazy, crazy stuff. And oh, I wanted to be on that game show so bad. Double Dare. There's the memory one where the tiles move away. Was that just memory or concentration? What was that called? I can't remember. Visiting my grandpa in the last years of his life, he would often have just the Game Show Network on, so I spent some time watching some of these games with him. The match game, I remember once on New Year's Eve, we were a group of people watching. They had all of the New Year's Eve match games on in a marathon, and the reason was because they would change the year of the game based on whatever year it was. It was like match game 76, and then they would reveal the new number logo at the end of the show. I mean, the game shows. There's so many game shows these days, and all of these celebrities are hosting these game shows. I mean, of course, the classics. Wheel of Fortune. Jeopardy. Let's Make a Deal. What's the No Whammies one? That we just talked about that with the movie. What's the other one that I'm trying to think of? With the, why can't I think of what it's called? Come on down. The Price is Right. There we go. That's a great classic game show. I think it would be pretty fun to be the host of a game show. It would be fun to be on a game show as well. I don't know what game show. I'd have to actually put effort into that. But yeah, I think it would be fun to be on a game show. And then let's see, some of the more modern ones. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The Briefcase Game, Deal or No Deal, and then there's so many more that I don't even know about, because I don't have time to play games, and I don't have time to watch games. I'm just aware that they're there. game show time. I want to. Yes, I think I would like to be on a game show. Okay, moving on to what? Gamesman or gamesman. This is a noun from 1947. It is one who practices gamesmanship. Also, one who plays games. I think this is, I mean, even though the word gamer is from the 1600s, that's the term that we've been using for one who plays games. I think gamesman from the 40s, that maybe was the term that we were using for one who plays games, but we've turned it into just gamer. But they're practicing gamesmanship? What's that? Let's move on to what? Gamesmanship. Noun from also 1947. Number one, the art or practice of winning games by questionable expedients without actually violating the rules. What? What are we talking about? So you're not actually cheating, but you are practicing how to win games by doing things that are questionable, but you're not actually violating the rules. What types of things would that be? Like, I don't know. I mean, in a sports game with another team, like maybe you're giving out a lot of fouls or something. So like they're allowed, you might be looked down upon. You might get kicked out if you give too many of them, but it's a way to adjust the game. Interesting. Okay, gamesmanship. Seems a little bit opposite than what's that term when you're like, I'm being a good sportsmanship. Oh, that was some good sportsmanship when you lost the game, but you were all cool about it. This seems like the opposite because you always want to win the game because you're a gamesman. Number two for gamesmanship is the use of ethically dubious methods to gain an objective. Well, I definitely do not practice gamesmanship because I don't really care for the dubious methods. If I'm gonna try and get a thing, I'm gonna try and get that thing in a cool way, not a dubious way. Gamesmanship, okay. What? Gamesome, game, and the word some. Let's play some games. Gamesome is an adjective from the 14th century. The synonyms are merry and frolicsome. I'm feeling so gamesome today as I'm frolicking down the road with all of the Christmas merriness around. Gamesome? Okay. Look at that gamesome fellow over there. What? Next is gamester. Seems similar to gamer, maybe. Gamester, noun from 1553. This is one who plays games. Ah, but especially not a gamer. The synonym is gambler. So gambler, gamester, it's very similar to gangster. So I wonder if there's a connection because maybe the gangsters were gamesters and in the gambling places. Gamester. I think we should start using that word. I like that one. The gamester. Not gamesman, but gamester. Blah. Next we have gamete or gameto. This is a prefix and it means gamete, G-A-M-E-T-E. As in the example, gametophore, which will be in the next episode. Gametophore will be in the next episode, but we have some more gamete words here in this episode. So, before we get to the actual word gamete, we gotta go on to what is this word? Gametangium. G-A-M-E-T-A-N-G-I-U-M. Gametangium. It is a noun from 1886. This is a cell or organ, as of an alga, fern, or fungus, in which gametes are developed. So the gametes are developed in the cell called the gametangium, and which would be a cell or organ in possibly something like an alga or an algae, a fern or a fungus. So those types of plants and things have this organ or cell called the gametangium. Let's go to the gametangium and make some gametes. This word is from the prefix gamete, also from plus the Greek word angion, which means a vessel. So it's the vessel where the gametes are being created. Next is the word gamete. This is, you can also say gamete. You could say it that way. Gamete or gamete. It is a noun from 1886. It is a mature male or female germ cell, usually possessing a haploid chromosome set and capable of initiating formation of a new diploid individual by fusion with a gamete of the opposite sex. So, I think right off the bat, we can say the sperm and the egg are gametes because that's the male version and the female version, and they come from those two people, and then they combine. They can't make a new individual on their own. They need the other half of the directions, the DNA directions, to make a new diploid individual. We're all individuals. So let's see. Gametic or gametic is an adjective, and gametically or gametically, that is an adverb. How are you doing something gametically or gametically? I'm just acting like a gamete, so I am living my life gametically. The etymology says this is from New Latin gameta, also from the Greek gametes or gametes, which means husband. Interesting. Also from the Greek gamine, which means to marry. So it's like you are marrying these two things together, the sperm and the egg. They're coming together. They're being married. That would be kind of a funny visual, just to see a sperm and an egg having a wedding. And then when they kiss, they fuse. And then the cells start dividing. And then they make a baby in front of the whole wedding crowd. That's what they're called. So, yeah, literally, gamete is just the idea of these two separate things coming together. That's where the word comes from. Now, what do we have? We have this long set of letters that make up words. What? It's gamete intrafallopian transfer. Three words, noun from 1984. It is a method of assisting reproduction in cases of infertility that involves obtaining eggs from an ovary, mixing them with sperm, and inserting them into a fallopian tube by a laparoscope. The abbreviation is GIFT, gamete intrafallopian transfer. It's a gift. Look, I'm giving you a gift of your eggs and sperm mixed together in a pot and put them in your fallopian tube. It is called also gamete intrafallopian tube transfer, a double T at the end. I think all the words are pretty clear. You're putting them in the fallopian tube because I guess the idea is that then they will travel down the fallopian tube so they can naturally get embedded into the wall of the uterus instead of just putting it into the wall of the uterus. I think maybe you want the body to do some sort of natural processes. And what are they doing? How are they doing this? They're mixing the eggs and the sperm. Do they literally, I know that when, in infertility, they're literally like injecting, I think, sperm into an egg, or at least one sperm into an egg with a very tiny little syringe, or something like that. But are they, it says that they're mixing them. So do you make a smoothie? How are you doing this? Do you literally just put them in a dish and let them figure it out? I'm sure it's much more complicated than that. Gamete intrafallopian transfer. Next, game theory. Two words, noun, from circa 1947. Now, what were the other 1947 words? We had gamesmen and gamesmanship. Maybe those people are studying game theory. This is the analysis of a situation involving conflicting interests in terms of gains and losses among opposing players. And situations where this might be being used is in business or military strategy. So in business, you've got your competition, the competitors that are out there, and so you're trying to analyze the situation with everybody's interests in mind, and you want to win, and you want your competitors to lose. So you have to use game theory. What I think I need to put a link in the show notes for game theory, because what exactly is involved? We're like looking at this as if it were a game, you know, because typically in games, there's winners and losers. And in business and military and other things, there's winners and losers, kind of. At least they look at that way. So you have to look at it as if it were a game. And that's it. Game theorist is a noun. Wow! Whoop! Next we have gametocyte. So it's the gameto prefix plus C-Y-T-E. Noun from 1899. This is a cell as of a protozoan causing malaria that divides to produce gametes. So it is a cell that divides to produce gametes. So they're coming from this cell, and it's a protozoan that's causing malaria is an example of a gametocyte, because it will divide and say, hey, let's have more malaria in all those places. Is that what we're talking about? I'm not sure. Wow! Next we have gametogenesis. Noun from circa 1900. Oh, by the way, this is the last word. G-A-M-E-T-O-G-E-N-E-S-I-S. It is the production of gametes. Yay, look at the factory, the new gameto factory, gamete factory. We've called it gametogenesis. This is where all of the gametes are being created and produced in a factory with conveyor belts. Look at all the sperm coming off the conveyor belt. Gametogenic or gametogenous. Those are adjectives. Gametogenic or gametogenous. Yep, those are adjective forms of this word. Gametogenesis. I guess we are... So okay. So if I have my information correct, people who are born with a uterus, they are not going through gametogenesis throughout their life. When they are formed in the womb... From a gamete to a baby, and they have a uterus, they do all of their gametogenesis at that time, because supposedly they have all of the eggs that they will have for their whole life in their body at that time. Now, is that correct? I mean, that's what I've heard, but as part of me feels like, is that accurate? I mean, they definitely run out of eggs at a certain point. But let me do a quick little search of gametogenesis. We're being genderized here. I know, I'm aware. That yes, they go through gametogenesis, which is specifically called oogenesis, double O, because they're eggs. The process of creating the egg cells, the process begins before birth and continues after puberty. Okay, so yes, it does go on for a while. Meiosis to produce haploid cells. Okay, so, you know, maybe you're going to have a whole bunch of your eggs when you're born, but you're still creating them up through puberty, and then your body's like, yeah, I got enough. I'm good. These are going to last me for a few decades. And then I will go through a whole other body process after that. But people who were not born with a uterus, and maybe they were born with a penis and a scrotum and the testicles, they're always going through gametogenesis. They can't help but go through gametogenesis. There's always exceptions to the rule. They're like, yep, gotta make all of those millions and millions and billions of sperm, because some of them aren't going to be great, and some of them are going to be wonderful, and you never know which one's going to make it to the finish line. All right, we don't need to talk about this anymore. But what we do need to talk about is the word of the episode. Let's have a little chat about the word of the episode. Today we had game hen, game keeper, gamelan, game of chance, game pad, game plan, game point, gamer, game show, gamesman, gamesmanship, gamesome, gamester, gamete or gameto, gametangium, gamete, intrafallopian transfer, game theory, gametocyte, and gametogenesis. There's a couple that I like. Let's just pick. I mean, there's a couple of fun words to say. There's some new things. Let's pick game show as the word of the episode. I want to be on a game show. I want to be on a game show. Bring back Double Dare so I can be on the game show. Game show. I don't even care about winning money. I just want to do some crazy fun stuff. Game show. All right. Game show. That was that. Let's see. Now, what are we doing? We're talking about a movie, because that is why you all come here to this podcast, to hear me talk about movies instead of words. The next one I saw is I Lost My Body. I had been interested in this movie for a while. It's an animated movie. Somebody had recommended it to me, and so I finally got around to watching it. And I think it's French, and it is about, I think you should just watch it. The basic premise is there's a hand that's detached from a body, and there's a couple of stories going on, and I really enjoyed it. It's different, and I like how the hand moves around. I mean, I like a lot of it, and I would like to rewatch it someday, but yeah, I Lost My Body. Watch it if you like that sort of thing. All right, this is going to be the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Is there a way that we can turn this podcast into a game? If you have any ideas, let me know. I think that would be fun. Contenders trying to win points on the dictionary. All right, this has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. This next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.